Was to find songs that would encourage you, and I really pray that you've been encouraged. And thanks, Tony, for that prayer time. It was just special. Sometimes things just come together, and I was very moved, which is good because I want to talk about this call to encourage one another. We've been looking at a one another series. It's important to realize that because sometimes we think the pastors should be doing everything, or the leaders, or the elders. But there are times Paul says this is a one another. This is something you've got to do for each other. Don't just look to your leaders to do it. Do it for one another. Be honest with one another. Be straight. Be real with one another. Accept one another. So easy to find faults and criticize and judge each other. And I shared that last week. Paul says accept one another as God in Christ has accepted you. And then we looked at that verse, only where the word warned came up in that first reading. I'm going to talk about that word and what it means. It can actually mean warned, but it means to speak encouragement or speak into someone's life. I'm going to start with reading some of these verses out. I want you to see that it's a common call. This encourage one another is there. In fact, 39 times the word encourage particularly in the book of Acts, it's often used of Paul as he goes to the churches. He encourages. And when he talks to the church, he says, encourage each other. Therefore, encourage one another, Thessalonians, and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everybody. Finally, brothers and sisters, Corinthians now. Rejoice, strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of peace will be with you. And there's a passage in Hebrews, we're not quite sure who wrote Hebrews, that book, but it says also, see to it, brothers and sisters, none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another. How often? Daily. Encourage one another. As long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. There's a constant call in Paul's letters in particular to encourage one another. I want to start with a bit of a word study. The word to encourage is parakaleo. I'm not wasting all that Greek I learnt. I'm going to use it every now and again. And it's two words. Para means alongside. Paragraph, you write it down below. It's alongside what you've just written. And kaleo means to call or speak. So it's to draw alongside someone and to speak into their lives. And often it's translated as to encourage or to comfort or to exhort. I said it's used 39 times in this positive way. It's used more often than that, but in a way that means to lift somebody up, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to draw alongside someone and to speak into their lives and encourage them. 1 Thessalonians 5 there says, to encourage and build up. And the word build up means, it's the word they use for building a house. So every time you encourage somebody, you're building something into their lives. I had this image of Christians all having a tool bag, you know, a hammer and... because we're called to build each other up. And encouraging words do that. Paul says, encourage and build one another up. And often, as I said, it's often used, I'm going to come up with this, to comfort somebody. I found an amazing thing. Jesus uses this word of the Holy Spirit. In John's 14 to 16, Jesus is kind of saying farewell to his disciples. And he uses the same word, paraclete, the noun from the same verb to encourage. And this is what he says in John 14, 16. I will pray the Father and he will give you another parakaleos, encourager, to be with you forever. Leo Morris, in his very thick commentary on the Gospel of John, says parakaleos here means to strengthen by encouragement. That's the role of the Holy Spirit in your life, to strengthen you by encouraging you. I've done a lot of thinking about that in the last few days, that the best encourager I have is the Holy Spirit in my life. Paul's saying then, in comfort and encourage one another, we are doing the work of the Holy Spirit. Say that again. When we encourage one another, we are doing the work of the Holy Spirit. Interesting enough, the devil is called the accuser of the brethren, Revelation 12:10. He's called the accuser of the brethren, the criticizer, the complainer. Remember in the book of Job, he's the one with all the charges against him, and he's doing that for us before God, saying, look, they're getting that wrong. They're saying this, they're doing that. He's called the accuser of the brethren. The Holy Spirit is called the encourager of the brethren. Question, who do you want to work for? Who do you want to work for? Because if we're just going around whinging and complaining and criticizing people, we're working for the enemy. And when we're encouraging people and lifting them up, and sometimes we have to say things that are straight to people, doesn't mean we're always saying great, positive things, but it means in the end, we're drawing alongside people and we're encouraging. We're doing the work of God. I want to see the importance of encouragement by looking at the power of discouragement. Because words can very often discourage, and words have the power to discourage, to take away courage and tear down. I think this is especially true of children. I've got this comment, and you may have heard it before, children are wet cement. Words leave a lasting impression on children. When you speak into a child's life, you're speaking into wet cement. Power of discouraging words, like you're hopeless or you're stupid or you'll never amount to anything, or they have power to really damage people. And many grown-ups today are living with the discouraging words of childhood. Adults look okay on the outside, but their spirits have been wounded by words of discouragement that replay in their minds through negative self-talk, and often repeated to themselves at times of stress, or when they've done something that they feel stupid or bad, out comes this negative self-talk. I want to share a story about it, because I kind of think it's important to see this, because it's the opposite of the positive part, is that words, particularly to children, are negative. And this story comes from a book by David Siemens on healing, healing prayer in particular. And he tells a story, a true story, of a lady who came to see him. Can you hear me okay? Yeah, I like to wander. And her name was Rebecca, and she came to see him because she'd struggled with a lot of negative self-talk under stress, and struggled to hear God and to connect with God and pray. And he listened to her and then said, which I often found very useful when I'm counselling people, and particularly when issues like this, I said, let's spend some time, said David, to just listen to what God might say. And so they sat quietly for a while, and suddenly she remembered something that happened to her as about a 12-year-old. She was loved playing the piano and been practicing and playing for a couple of years, and she's 12, and there's a concert coming up, and she's been asked to play at the concert. And she practices and practices and practices, and Margaret, you might, you know, when you were learning, I'm sure you practiced and practiced. And she just knew this piece back to front. Come the concert, big crowd of people like this, her piano teacher's there, her family are there, school friends, and she gets up to play. And she begins nervously, but all that practice has paid off. And she gets it just perfectly. Timing is right. She's just playing it gorgeously. When she finishes, everyone applauds, and she comes down, and her piano teacher says, Becky, that was fantastic. We were beautiful. And she goes and she sits with her family, and the mother reaches over and says to her, Becky, your slip was showing the whole time. I mean, it's not laugh, but it's tragic. Nothing positive, you know. You did something wrong. You weren't dressed properly, you know. And she's living with stuff like that. If you're interested, I can lend you the book and hear how life changed for Becky. But we often, and all of us have lived with positive and negative influences like that in our lives. But I think I can see why, because there are lots of Rebeccas in our churches. And we are those people that have often lived with negative inputs. So how we treat one another and speaking encouragingly to one another is very healing. And it's a truth, I think, that very often the negative stuff we remember and really sticks with us. And sometimes the positive stuff washes over. We don't remember much of it. But it's important to keep doing it. What are some of the sources of encouragement? In the family of God, in fact, I've left a bit out, and I did this last week too, so I've got to read my notes a little more carefully. I want to ask you a question. Did Jesus get encouraged? He did. Can I show you these two texts? This is Jesus being baptized. As soon as he was baptized, he went out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. He saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove. And a voice from heaven, this is a loud voice, everyone could hear, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Jesus hasn't done anything, hasn't ministered, hasn't gone to the cross, hasn't performed any miracles. He's just in that place God wants him to be. And his voice from the Father says, "I'm really pleased with you, Jesus." God is encouraging, God the Father is encouraging his Son. And this is a little bit later on the Mount of Transfiguration. He takes a few of his disciples up high to this mount. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud, I think this is Peter that was speaking, saying, "Let's build a hut for each of you," or some crazy thing. And while he's still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. It seemed to me that the Father relished encouraging his Son. And if I might even so bold to say it, Jesus is fully human as well as fully God. He needed to hear that, I think. He needed to know he was in the right place and that his Father was encouraging him. If Jesus needs it, how much more do we need to be encouraged by God? That's why I wanted songs that you'll be encouraged by. That last song in particular, if you know the story, the backstory to that that hymn, it's amazing that a man could write those words after suffering so much. I find a very moving and encouraging hymn. So we'll go to sources of encouragement. Most important, I think, a source, as I said, is from God our Father. And we need to seek and look for that encouragement. And that's said, in a sense, God's role. Have a look at this text. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of compassion and the God of all comfort." Guess what that word is? Parakaleo. Same word. "The God of all comfort and encouragement, who comforts, who encourages us in our troubles, so we can encourage, comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, and let's face it, we do, so also our encouragement, our comfort abounds in Christ." Beautiful text. Paul is writing to a church where he's had a lot of difficulties and struggles with them, but he reminds them that God is a God of comfort, that God encourages and comforts us, and then he wants that to be passed on to others. Pass on what God has been giving to you. How does God comfort us? In what ways? I have one way that I find is the most best way that God encourages me. Man up on me. I just bought this. Could you bring it to the next slide, please, Seth? This is from Romans. Won't go for you either. There it is, thank you. "For whatever is written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope." I find that the place I really get encouraged by God is through his word, through the Bible. I'm going to ask you, have you ever been encouraged by the Bible? I'm going to ask you to put your hand up, anyone who's been encouraged by the Bible. by words from God. Put a second hand up if it's been more than once, been a number of times. One or two hands up. One or two hands are up. You know this is the way God encourages you. I'm a real strong believer as a pastor in the power of God's encouragement through his word. To the point where I'm going to share this. It's in my notes and I think I will share this. 15 years ago, I decided to send texts. Someone told me that someone was always sending texts to them every day. And I thought, what a great idea. 15 years ago, I started in Carnegie. Anyone who wanted, I would send them a text Monday to Friday in the mornings, an encouraging text, text of encouragement. I've been doing that, said, for 15 years. A number of people in my life group, a number of people here, I can see that you get my texts in the morning. And the one I sent Friday was from Isaiah 41. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with my victorious right hand. In fact, in verse 13 as well. But I'll make that offer. It's a once-in-a-lifetime deal. There are no steak knives that come with this. It's just a special. If you would like me to send you daily, Monday to Friday, a Bible text, talk to me afterwards, find my number and send me a text, because you have to have a mobile phone. They come by mobile. And I will send you Monday to Friday. I've got a lot of people that get the text, and I wait on God before I send it to hear from him. But it's because I believe that the power of the Word of God to encourage us. And often I meet people, because some of these people I haven't seen for a long time there, and they'll say, Pete, the other day you sent that word and I was facing this or the other. The Word of God is powerful to encourage us. And we make a mistake when we don't seek the word. And I daily get into God's word and let it encourage us. The other way God encourages is by the living word. And that, I mean, is you and me. God uses us, one another, to encourage one another. And that's why these words, Paul's saying to congregations, encourage one another, build one another up. And God has entrusted this task to us. The family should follow the lead of the Father and encourage one another. How? Often I think words of encouragement, coming up and just saying, hey, really appreciate it when you did that, or how you did that. Sometimes written. We don't write letters anymore. It just doesn't seem to happen that much. But I know I have a collection of cards and letters over the 30-something years I've been pastoring, where people have taken the time to write something, a letter of encouragement. I'm looking at one of my encouragers now, Judy. and that's because from the old school, Judy, where we wrote letters, now nobody writes them. But even a text, you know, or an email to say, hey, I really appreciate you did that, or the way that was done, or words of encouragement to one another. Look, I'm going to share two stories in closing about this, so you kind of get the point. But for some reason, back in the day, I think after the war and depression, people were very stoic and they kept quiet. And there was a thing as though you don't praise people or encourage them because it's going to go to their head. Well, that's exactly where it should go, to their head, you know, to their hearts. I really think it's something we've got to do. And not only that, but practical help. Practical support. When I arrived, Nola and I, 2016, in Churnside Park, where we live now, there was a team of people from this church to help us unload. This big truck came and they were just surprised. Where did all these people come from? Practical ways we can help one another. And soon I found that my neighbour had mowed my front nature strip, and that they had this habit of mowing each other's nature strips. So we've been doing it for a long time. Sometimes we forget and the nature strips grow for a while, but finally one of us gets them. We kind of look after each other. There are practical ways that you can encourage, and small practical ways really make a lot of difference. And so I want to close with a couple of stories. I have a note about Barnabas, and I'm not going to go into it, because I was going to just tell one story and I felt the Lord say, share them both. But Barnabas, his name was Joseph, But they called him Son of Encouragement because he had this reputation of encouraging. Encouraged Paul, encouraged Mark. Look up Barnabas' story. But I'm going to tell you two modern day stories. First one, I saw and it blew me away. I was a school teacher in the 70s and 80s, early 80s, and I taught in special schools, and this one occurred in Frankston at a school called Naranga. And first year there, I was the phys ed teacher. Why? Because no one else wanted to do it, and I was new. What am I doing as a phys ed teacher? Anyway, I took a group of kids, I don't know, six, eight kids, to bowling, 10-pin bowling. Some of the kids were pretty good at it, and they would knock down, you know, three, four, five pins. I don't know if we got any strikes. But you know how you got this thing up with a score, you have names, and the scores are up there for everyone to see? So all kids had their names up and their scores, but one, and we always have one, I guess, Fiona, could not bowl at all. That wasn't her real name. I'm trying to protect her identity, even though it's a long time ago. You'll see why. She was not built well to bowl, and she was very clumsy, and she'd get the ball, and she just watched everybody else. She'd just go, and it would go straight to the gutter, straight in. Fiona, zero. And the others would, you know, their scores would start to add up. No one brilliant, but, you know. And every now and again, they didn't make fun of her. A few of them said, let me show you how to do it. And they tried, but every time she'd send it off one way or the other, Fiona, zero. Fiona, zero. And it got to the end of the game, and the kids are adding up their scores, and they're not highly competitive, you know. But Fiona, zero, 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 zero. It's her last turn. Two bowls. The first one, trying really hard, straight in the gutter, zero. The last ball. And I'm feeling for her. The kids are feeling for her. And she holds the ball, and I'm standing there behind her. I walk up behind her. She goes up a little further, and she stops. I think she's praying, honestly. And she bends down, and she does it differently. She pushes it like that. It's her last attempt. And the ball goes down, and it's going down the middle, you know, and I'm thinking, yes. But then it starts to go off to the side, and everyone's looking, oh. Goes right to the end, right to the end, and it just tips a pin, just nicks it, and the pin, and it falls. Hooray! All the kids are jumping up, and they're like Brisbane winning the grand final. They were fantastic. I thought they'd carry her off on their shoulder. And I went up and I went, Fiona won. I just can't wait to flabbergast it. I thought, these kids can teach you about encouragement. You don't have to do great things. You have to win grand finals or kick goals or to be encouraged. We need to encourage one another even in the smallest things. You know, even in the small things. That's what I learnt. Many things. A few weeks now at the end of my series, I have another story to tell about that, the things that happened there. But I learnt a lot from those kids. I learnt a lot about encouragement. The second story, I'm going to close on this. Well, kind of close. But this story stuck in my head all week, and I don't know where it came from, but I just remembered it, all the details of it, and I started looking for it. I looked through one book several times, every page. It wasn't there. Looked through my computer, couldn't find it. Then Professor Google found it for me, and I found it. But and as I read it, and I've got it in printed form now, it was pretty much exactly as I remembered it. And it's called Kyle's Friend. And it's been told by Tim. I'm going to read part of it, and the rest, I'm going to tell the rest, because it was kind of stuck in my head. One day when I was, just, Tim's young, equivalent in America to high school, one day when I was a freshman in high school, I saw a kid in my class who was walking home from school. His name was Kyle. It looked like he was carrying all of his books. I thought to myself, why would anyone bring all his books home on a Friday? He must be a real nerd. Well, I had quite a weekend planned, so I was just going to move on. I shrugged my shoulders and went. But as I was walking, I saw a bunch of kids running up, taunting him, teasing him, giving him a hard time. They ran at him and knocked him over, and all his books went flying, and his glasses landed about 10 feet in front of him. And I saw them land, and he looked up, and I saw this terrible sadness in his eyes. My heart went out to him, so I jogged up and called back and found the glasses, saw the tear in his eyes as I handed him the glasses, and I said, "Boy, those guys are real jerks. They should really get a life." And he looked at me and said, "Thanks." I helped him up and helped him pick up his books, asked him where he lived. Turned out he lived close to me, so I asked him why I hadn't seen him before, and he said that he had gone to a private school before coming here, maybe been here a few months, but I hadn't noticed him. I never would have hung out with a private school kid before, but we talked all the way home, and I carried some of his books and turned out to be a pretty good kid. I asked him, or cool kid it says here, I asked him if he wanted to play a little football with my friends. He said yes. We hung out all weekend. The more I got to know Kyle, the more I liked him. Monday morning came, and there was Kyle with a huge stack of books again. I stopped him and said, "Boy, you've got to really build some muscles with that pile of books every day." He laughed and handed me half the books. Over the next 4 years, Kyle and I became best friends. We were seniors. We began to think about college. They went off kind of in two different directions, or were going to. I knew I would always be friends and that the miles would never be a problem. Kyle ended up becoming the valedictorian of our class. I think that means top of the class, is that right? It's not a word I use all the time, but I teased him because he had to give a speech for his graduation, and I used to hang it on him a bit. I was glad it wasn't me, says Tim, having to give that speech. So now I'm actually going to add a little bit from here, because Kyle got up to give his speech in front of all the class and graduates and said, "I want to talk to you about encouragement and little acts of kindness." He said, "When I first came to this school, I came from a private school. Everyone knew that, and everyone gave me a really hard time. As soon as I arrived, I wear glasses. I got all these nicknames and kids would taunt me. I had no peace. I'd go home very, very down and I'd be very lonely at home. I did not want to go back to school. Every day going to school was a real drag and I hated it. And after a while, I'd had enough. And I found my father's gun closet and the key, and I got a pistol. And I found some bullets that he had, and I put the gun in my room. And I thought, I'm just going to go to school for the last time on a Friday because I don't want my mum to have to clear my locker out, so I'm going to take all my books. So I got all my books, and during the day I'm thinking, is this the right thing to do? Should I do it? But as I'm walking out, a group of those kids start giving it to me again, and one of them jumps at me and my books go flying, and I'm on my hands and knees, my glasses have gone, I'm trying to find them, and I'm thinking to myself, yep, I'm going to do it. Today's the day, I've had enough. But then I look up and I see this guy smiling at me, and he's got my glasses in his hand and he hands them to me. And he says, "God, those guys were jerks." And he begins to befriend me. And then Kyle looked up at Tim, and Tim never knew what had gone on. He said, "Tim, your small act of kindness changed my life. And I'm here today because of that little thing you did for me. Never, never look down on the smallest act of kindness. Thank you." Powerful story. It just kept resonating with me. And through the week until I found where it was. I'm happy to pass that on if someone else wants to read it all. But it just made me realise that we have the authority in God to encourage people and to bring change and hope to people, not only to people in the church, our neighbours. My next door neighbour is going through it. Her husband's passed away. She's elderly and really struggling. I dropped in her the other day and she has this big black eye where she'd fallen, and I thought, I need to see her all the time and regularly just keep building that friendship. Small things make all the difference. And God has given you this assignment. This is how we're closing. Not yet. We've got some music coming up. For those who are able to, I want you all to please stand. Because this is an assignment. You're going to hear some music if it comes. Anyone know the music? All right, thank you. Mission Impossible. I just had to do that. Always wanted to do that. This is your mission. You know how the Mission Impossible, you get a task, you get a choice whether you want to do it or not. And if you get killed in the process, the secretary will annul your name. Forget about that. God remembers and God won't forget you. But this is your mission. Look at the people around you in this church. You are called to encourage them. You are called to encourage one another. You don't know the history that people have had. You don't know the things they've suffered and the joys that they've had. You have an almighty calling on your life. And Paul repeats it over and over. Brothers and sisters, encourage one another. This is what I want to leave you with today. Find simple, practical ways. Let God show you. Let the Holy Spirit nudge you. If you get that nudge from God, go and see that person. Go and say this. Go and do that. Don't turn that off. Listen. And allow God to give you the time, the space, the words, the actions to encourage one another. Let's pray. Father, I didn't want to leave out the story of Fiona. I remember vividly that those kids getting so excited by one pin being knocked over. And I pray that we might have eyes to see the one pin that people knock over, the one little thing that people do that we never encourage people for. We want to be, Father, a church made in your image, where we are people who encourage one another, not just for a day, or it says daily, find a way to encourage one another through word, through actions. This is your calling on our lives. And I thank you, Father, it doesn't start with us. It starts with you. You want to be our encourager. You encourage us, Father. I pray we might, through your word, daily be encouraged by you. You love us as your people. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. We take this holy calling. Amen. I'm going to close with a song that I've been closing this series on, The Potter's Hand, again with the thought that we can't do this on our own. This isn't a Rotary club and I've spoken at Rotary. You know, I can say, do this stuff, and they go, oh yeah, but this is a church of God. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us, that enables us. This is a call to let the Holy Spirit shape us into his people. Thanks.